Welcome to Golf Origin Stories. My name is Chris McEwen. That is No Doubts, Just a Girl from their record Tragic Kingdom. Now, before we get into the history of that song and the band and the show and all that kind of stuff, just a quick, right from the get-go reminder that if you like the show and if you find yourself listening every week or maybe every other week or whatever, do me a favor and subscribe to the podcast and leave a rating and leave a review. Getting it off from the top, just to get it out of the way, just a quick reminder. Okay, now, let's talk about No Doubt and Just a Girl. So the song itself is clearly a tongue-in-cheek sort of, it's a very feministic song about men basically getting in the way when they think they're doing good. When it comes to taking care, quote unquote, taking care of women or protecting women. And really what this song is about is get out of the way, men. We can do it as women. And they're exactly right. They can do it as women if we would just allow them to and not think that our, you know, interceding on things or our sort of protections or whatever it may be, you know, our own egos get in the way of their success. That song is way ahead of its time. If you think about when it was released way back in 1995. I'd like to think we've come a little ways from a progressive perspective, but I think a lot of the issues that existed then when Gwen Stefani wrote that song unfortunately exist today. And as a father of two daughters, I have been expressing the challenges that they will face. And it's not something that I think men do actively for the most part. I think we're trying to help. But at the same time, sometimes, honestly, we just have to get out of the way. Women are brilliant human beings. They're caring human beings. They work just as hard as men. They are just as smart as men. They can do all these things that men can do. And so, you know, let's let them do those things. Anyways, let's talk about No Doubt for a minute. So No Doubt kind of, you know, they were one of those 10-year overnight successes. They had an album that came out, maybe two albums before Tragic Kingdom hit. They had, you know, a couple different formations of the band. They were born in Anaheim, California, not far from where my guest grew up in Long Beach, and we'll get to my guest in a moment. But ultimately, it's kind of crazy. So Gwen Stefani, who for those of you who are new to Gwen Stefani, she was in a band before she was like the Holla Back Girl, and before she was this mega celebrity from The Voice and marrying the country guy whose name escapes me at the moment. But nevertheless, she had this whole thing where she was like in this punk band, this sort of ska punk band, you know, and that was really the catalyst that really catapulted her into what she has become today. I think it's pretty easy to say that without No Doubt, well, maybe that's not fair to say, she probably would have been a star regardless, but the world was introduced to the style and the voice and the whole thing back in 95 through No Doubt. But it was her brother, Eric, that basically talked her into being in the band. Initially, when the band was created, she was a backup singer. And they had trumpets and trombones and all these different horns and the whole ska sound thing. And then, you know, a couple different things happened as bands tends to happen in bands, and people left and people came in and whatever. And Eric ended up actually, her brother ended up actually leaving the band during the recording and production of Tragic Kingdom. And fun little fact about Eric Stefani, he would go on to become an animator for a little show called The Simpsons. So not a bad recovery by Eric. Anyways, so they, you know, no doubt would go on and become this super mega band in 1995 and through sort of the mid to late 90s. And just as so many of these bands that had this kind of sound, at the end of the day, it ended up being a bit of a blip in the big musical picture. You know, it's hard to maintain that level of popularity with that style of music. It just is. It really just is. But nevertheless, no doubt, and Gwen Stefani had a major impact. And Gwen Stefani herself was a major influence to, I think, a lot of the stuff that we would go on to hear within the musical world, you know, from a female perspective. I think she was the impetus for a lot of the stuff that would come out later. A lot of these big stars, even today, like I would think when you listen to some of Katy Perry, you can probably hear a little bit of Gwen Stefani's stylings in her. You know, I know she's much more poppier, really, let's be honest, but still there are influences there that Gwen Stefani really laid the foundation on. So that's no doubt. And Gwen and Just a Girl. That's such a great song. And it's, the band is so eclectic the way it was put together. You've got, you know, the guitarist of the band was in previous like metal bands. The drummer he's just a banger, man. He's crazy on the drums. The guy's a maniac. And then you've got just one of the more underrated bass players in that band as well, who actually dated Gwen Stefani for like a year in secret while they were in the band, because there's this like unwritten rule that, you know, band members should never date one another. That's a disaster waiting to happen. It turns out it was a disaster waiting to happen. And the majority of Tragic Kingdom is documenting that disaster. But anyways, let's move on. Let's get into the golfy part. Let's talk about, I referenced her a little bit at the beginning of the episode. My guest today is Noelle Zavaleta. She of Srixon and Cleveland and XCO and ASIC. She's got quite the group of golf products or golf companies that she manages from a managing perspective and a social media perspective. And she does an incredible job. Just recently, if you're not part of the golf Twitter or golf equipment sort of world, Srixon has just been releasing product after product after product after product after product lately. And so I wanted to get her on to talk about some of those things a little bit. But I also, you know, I'm always curious about, yes, there is the equipment side and the design side and the engineering side and things like that. But how do things sort of work from a marketing side? Like, what's that feel like to prepare? Because let's be honest, the engineers can do a lot and they can create a tremendously great product. But if it isn't marketed right, it's not going to work. It's not going to hit. So there's lots of pressure on that marketing side. And so I wanted to get Noelle's perspective on that side sort of the business. And then we get into, of course, the when and why and how Noelle fell in love with golf. But not before we go a little bit back in time to discuss her early days of playing the game, because it's on record online, because Noelle, she can play some golf. She'll say like, oh, I'll be back in my day. But like, no, Noelle is like a legit hardcore, really, really good golfer. So we definitely talk about that. But first, let's get into all the Srixon stuff and what it's like on the marketing side to prepare and release that to the wild with Noelle Zavaleta. So Noelle, have you had a chance to just take a breath at any point over the past, I don't know, year? I mean, I feel like just in the past 2 weeks, you've sort of had this onslaught, like Srixon has had this onslaught of new awesome stuff that's come out. How are you holding up after all of this?
Yeah, it's It's been incredibly busy, and I've been with the company now coming up on 6 years. And honestly, I've never been more busy in my life, and I'm doing everything remotely still.
Right.
So I have to like remind myself and set a reminder on my phone to like take a 30-minute break, you know, or take that lunch break, you know, and like go outside and get some fresh air before I just go like mentally mad. But it's all great stuff. We're killing it right now.
You really are. It's been super impressive. Not just, okay, so let's just go over real quick for those that haven't seen it. ZX5, ZX7 Woods drivers, right? Irons, fairway, yep. Hybrid, yep. A new utility.
Yep.
And some and the ZX4 irons, which look incredible. Yes. And a new Z-Star series golf ball.
Yes.
Did I forget anything? It's a lot. That's right. Like the past few weeks.
If you're talking just the Srixon clubs and balls, that's it. Yeah. But then we still have ASICS shoes that we just launched.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. You know, we had a new Cleveland wedge in December, and we had new Zexio Prime product as well. So yeah.
Yeah. For those that don't know, that's all you run all of that stuff from a PR marketing social media spot. That's like 4 or 5 companies basically.
Four technically. Srixon, Cleveland, Zexio, ASICS. You know, think of our receptionist who has to pick up the phone and say that full name.
Right. Wow. So, I just want to get, I like to get your perspective or the marketing side. I dabble in marketing a little bit, but when there's a release or releases like this that are coming up, you know, you mentioned that you've been working remotely just like everybody else has. What is it like on the marketing side to see this stuff start to get developed? I'm sure, you know, things like the rebound frame for, you know, the Woods, you know, for the Srixon stuff has been in the works for quite some time, but you get to see it sort of, and you know when you're going to hit the gas pedal from a marketing perspective. So just kind of, what is that like from your perspective?
Yeah, it's super exciting, but it's, I will give you some insight. So we just launched, you know, our official launch day on the new ZX Woods and Irons was January 15th. Okay. Mm-hmm. So after this show airs, maybe it was like two to three weeks after. Okay. We are already working on the next line right now.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane. So, I mean, backtrack a little bit, you know, it's the ZX stuff has been in my mind for almost 2 years now. You know, and it's, wow. And, I help out and kind of give some perspective to the R&D standpoint, but other than that, I don't touch it with a 10-foot pole. They're geniuses. I stay far away, you know, but when they ask my input, I'm happy to help in that sense. And then they finish things off, and then probably around, 10 months to a year before we set our dates of embargoes and launches and pre-sales, then we start to figure out, okay, how can we market this? I mean, we intertwine it with R&D for sure, but then afterwards they kind of pass it over to us, and then we take the lead, and it's, making commercials, figuring out scripts of those, figuring out the best way to, you know, market these technologies and these names. And it's, setting up, like how I said, TV commercials with our tour players, figuring out some fun, cool social media videos that we can also create around the new product. And then, you know, getting media samples in, getting photo samples in at like 6 months in advance, taking lifestyle photos of those. I can go on and on. It's just, but it's never a never ending process.
Wow. So do you guys do internally any kind of, well, maybe you couldn't do it this year, but like any sort of launch party or even a forced respite or both?
It's yes and no. So yes, we do. At least I try and take the lead on that, at least for like within our marketing department, because we actually do everything, you know, by ourselves of the marketing content and things like that. But wow. Then it's never ending. It's like, okay, Srixon's done, but it's like, wait, we have Zexio. Okay, wait, we have Cleveland. You know, so it's not like some other brands who can like maybe get a rest, but I'm also sure they're not getting rest either. But I do In normal circumstances, you know, where we didn't have COVID, I would always try it. And at least like the day it officially launches, I'll like order some lunch for the team. And, you know, we'll have a celebratory like hour of, you know, like we did it, we're here, we made it, you know, and then it's like, all right, get back to work.
Yeah, some of the stuff, it's interesting that, man, as you go through that list, am I not envious of anything that you do. You know, everyone thinks like it's so fun to work in the golf world, which it sounds like you have a blast and you really enjoy it. But I also think it takes a certain type of person like yourself to really be able to enjoy that, because all that stuff that you're doing in-house, and then I'm sure you're outsourcing some of the production, you know, for those things. Herding kittens doesn't even sound like it begins to describe what exactly goes on. And you're doing it for all these different brands. Like,
right.
Wow, man.
Right. Right. I know. I sometimes sit back and it's like, wow, did we really just pull that off? You know, did we really just do all that? But I enjoy it. I'm a golfer. I've been playing golf my entire life, and it doesn't feel like a job to me. You know, I'm super blessed. I'm super thankful for the opportunity and to still have a career, obviously, during COVID. And, but I mean, it's impacted us definitely as well. But at the same time, we've been very fortunate, you know, like as you've seen, like golf has really ramped up and it's awesome. You know, we're killing it right now. I'm hearing left and right and every day, like, oh my God, Strixon, like how cool, you know, you guys are killing it right now from top to bottom. And it's like, I couldn't be more proud of how hard we've worked this past year. I mean, obviously for our entire career, but like this past year, we didn't let COVID-19 get the worst of us.
Yeah. It really is truly impressive. Do you have a favorite within the ZX children? Are you more excited about putting something in your bag that maybe you get to look forward to?
The irons. Those are my babies. You know, I've had them in the bag for quite some time. And then as everyone noticed that Europe was able to launch them before we did in the US. So it was killing me that I couldn't talk about it. trust me, like I try and give everyone some teases and like, you know, I want people to get excited, but it's like eating me away when I can't like, you know, brag about all these new things. But I mean, I love our Strixon irons. They have been fantastic for a number of years. I honestly didn't think we can top last year's, and that's speaking honest, you know, to God truth, but we did. And they're beautiful. They're gorgeous to look at. What really impressed me, and I want to vocalize it as much as possible, is the driver this year. You know, we've really stepped up our game, and we're right there where everyone else is. You know, our tour players are loving it. They're switching into it. It's done a phenomenal job. I love the sound off of the ball. That's probably my favorite thing about it. It looks awesome at address, and it goes far.
I've seen it in action. So I've played golf with our pal Adam Fonseca of Golf Unfiltered. And so he had it in his bag doing some testing, and we were playing with two other strangers at the time. And it's funny you mentioned the sound of it, because it's head turning. Like it gets your attention, especially the way Adam strikes a golf ball, like that guy.
I have actually never seen him play. So
really?
Yeah, I've never played with him.
He's quite good. He's quite good.
I'll take your word for it. I mean, he's out there all the time.
It's true. So, yeah. Yeah, I remember him hitting that thing, and yeah, it goes a mile for sure. And it just sounds, it's just got that beautiful, like
it does.
It's that thing where like when you are rewarded audibly with a well struck golf ball.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
Right.
So you mentioned the irons too. So I wanted to get an idea. I kind of think so, you know, working with, you know, Driving Range Heroes and Bill and Tommy and those guys, they gave me a bit of a rundown, but so you have three lines of the Strixon, right? 7, 5, and 4.
Yes.
Okay. So the 5 and the 7 seems like that's where you build a set between the two. Am I right about that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you can. Yeah. A lot of our tour players do. They do combo. That's of the new ZX line. Remember, we still have our Z Forged blade iron too. So that's still in the mix. So technically, if we're now including ZX4, that's four irons in the Strixon line, not including the utility, which is a whole nother topic.
Yeah. 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 Which I've heard is also equally amazing.
Yes.
Actually.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the ZX4 irons that just came out, when I did a little blurb about those on the YouTube channel, those sound like an iron for me, which is, you know, I'm a middle of the pack. I'm not terrible, but I'm also not great. And I feel like those have the enough forgiveness on mishits to really kind of favor that type of golfer. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah. I mean, it's for sure our first line. I mean, I want to say our first line of game improvement irons. We did have the 355 series. That was, five, 6 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
But we really dedicated ourselves this year to make a beautiful looking forged, you know, face. And the ZX4 iron is a fantastic option for someone who just needs a little bit more forgiveness, you know, but again, the ZX5 is also very forgiving as well. I wouldn't necessarily categorize it as a game improvement iron. That would be ZX4. But, you know, a ZX5 also can give you a lot of benefits, but still be able to shape the ball and, you know, do what you want with it. But yeah, for those who haven't seen the ZX4s in person yet, like, you will be shocked. Like, it doesn't look like a game improvement iron. When you set it down at a dress, the top line is still pretty thin. I mean, it's a little bit thicker, but I mean, you would have never guessed.
Yeah. Yeah. So I game the UHX, the Cleveland UHX irons, which I absolutely adore. Best irons I've ever played. It's not even close. I love the things. Is it from a profile perspective or from, I don't know what you would call it, a top line perspective? Is it similar to the ZX4?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I thought definitely. So. Looking at it. Yeah.
Right.
Which is what I really liked about the Cleveland irons, quite honestly, is just the view. It made me feel like I was a better player.
Right.
And then I would hit them and it would kind of prove the point. Like, hey, look at that. Ball goes up and far. Great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I do love those UHX irons. I really, really do love them. So they're going to hang out in the bag, I think, for a little while longer.
Good. 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 Yeah. No, that's a great line of irons that we came out with, you know, almost a year and a half ago. Yeah. And then in addition, we have the Super Game Improvement, the Launcher HB Turbo irons, which are like our number one selling irons for Cleveland. They just, someone who needs to get the ball high, you know, higher up in the air and just get that extra distance. They're easy. They're so, so easy. And that's what I'm so proud of as far as our company too, with Strixon and Cleveland. We've really focused on the broad spectrum of players, you know, especially looking at like our wedges. We came out with our RTX Zip Cores in this past summer, you know, which are amazing and fantastic. But then we also do have the cavity back wedge, the CBX2. So, you know, there's everything out there from our company standpoint. You know, we look at, you know, all the golfers, and I think what did we say? It's statistically, it was like 82% of golfers are playing cavity back irons. So why wouldn't you play a cavity back wedge to suit your bag? So.
For sure. Yeah. It's actually, I hadn't really thought about that, the way that the Cleveland Strixon stuff sort of aligns, where you are covering 100% of the golfer, both from a playing perspective, from a looks perspective, you know, all that kind of performance. Boy, you guys really thought out this, this whole strategy, huh?
Nice job. We did, you know. Just keep piling more stuff on our plate. we can handle it.
Just give it to Noel. It'll be fine.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's talk about you a little bit. You had mentioned that you had played some golf as a youth, right? So you've grown up playing the game. Are you aware that if you Google your name?
Oh, no.
You can go back to, I think you may, did you play some junior tour?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe PG Southern California.
Yeah. I played that. I played AJGA. I've played everything. I've been playing since I was 3 competitively since I was 6.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
So you were built to, do you have that sort of competitive thing? Like you're not playing competitively now, but does it still come through from a professional perspective? Yeah.
Oh yes. Yes. Yeah. I am very competitive for sure.
I can see that.
Yes.
You're real nice and smiley and everything, but like deep down you're
I want to win.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. I will be extremely respectable. And, you know, if I'm with someone who's, a celebrity or, you know, our tour player, you know, whoever it may be that I know, you know, should be better. And if we have maybe a chip off or something like that, and I beat them, I'm going to let them know, hey, I won. So fair and square,
right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying you can't take the competitiveness out of me. It's extremely hard for me to also always go out to a golf course. And if saying we're doing a commercial shoot and we're out there for 4 or 5 days, it is killing me inside that I like am not hitting a golf shot. Right. So I will by like the end of the week or any time I'm out there, like I'm gonna hit a shot, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just in me. It's ingrained in me.
Yeah. I could see you like getting paired up with some stranger and maybe because it would most certainly be a man, maybe says something or makes reference to something that maybe he shouldn't have. And you just shut his mouth with the drive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Right. Basically. Yeah. I get that quite a lot. You know, I go out there when I'm out there on the golf course, I probably don't look like, you know, a typical LPGA player, you know, cause I'm more just relaxed. Like I'm out here just to have fun, you know? And, you know, my husband's been picking up the game a little bit. So we've been going out and stuff like that, but we take one bag. We just love to like play nine, walk, you know, the back nine in the late afternoon. And so he'll have the one bag and we'll share the clubs and stuff like that. Minus them being pink, you know, everyone automatically assumes they're his, you know, and then they ask the questions like, yo, you know, they think I'm just like the wife who's just going to go walk and play, you know, or like just walk and enjoy the afternoon. And then, I get it all the time. We're up at the first tee and then they're like, where do you get, you know, are you going to play? And I was like, yeah, I'll hit around a little bit from here and there. And then I hit my first drive and they're just like, jaw drops. They're like, are you a professional? You know, then they're all excited and want to know everything and, you know, want to know what's in the bag and all that stuff and things like that. Right. But then I do some good product seating. We've got a couple extra sleeves in my bag, you know, to say, hey, give this a try. So, and then they're sold after that.
Right. Marketers always market. You guys never stop marketing.
Nope. It's never.
Forever.
Yes. Right.
I appreciate the little rope-a-dope that you give people like, nah, I'll play a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then you just start lacing golf balls all over the golf course.
I'm very old fashioned where I don't like to brag. I don't like to boast. You know, I keep things to myself. If someone wants to legit ask me a question, I have no problem answering it, but I'm never going to be like, oh yeah, I got a full ride scholarship. Oh yeah, I played D1, you know, you know, my lowest score is a 64, you know, like I'm not going to do any of that. Like I respect the game too much where I'm going to let my game speak for itself. And hey, I also get so competitive though. I get mad at myself if I shoot 2 over par and it's like, Noelle, I can't be that way. I don't practice anymore, you know, but I still have that competitive side of me where it's like, oh, I just made a bogey, you know, and right, I'll still get mad at myself. And like that adrenaline rushes back. And my husband's like, it's okay. Like, we're just like playing 9 holes, you know, it's not for, you know, he'll always say the green jacket, you know? So.
Yeah. 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 So let's talk about your career as a golfer a little bit before we get into how you became a golfer.
Okay.
So I'd mentioned, you know, you Google your name and it's crazy. This website, I have it right here. I just happen to have your statistics as a junior tour player. Let's see, 2005 through 2008, they have all this stuff on here and you can actually go into the rounds.
So I've got some questions. No. Oh no. Okay. Let's go.
All right. Let's just first talk about, how good you were. Because you were really good. So you were the 2007 Player of the Year as a junior, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
You had in 2007, you had seven top 10 finishes, right? Two back-to-back wins. So you were pretty dominant that year. And it, your first win, according to this website here, at least from the PGA Junior Tour perspective,
okay, mm-hmm.
Came in 2005. Do you remember the win?
No, not at all, but I will take their word for it.
So it, apparently it was at the Santa Barbara Junior Open.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at Santa Barbara Golf Club. Finished first there. That was your first win in 2005. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And then, now you did shoot, I wanted to see, there was a round here that I wanted to talk to you about. So at the Cimarron Junior Championship, another championship that you won, you shot a 69 yeah. for the win.
I remember that. Yeah.
It seemed like you struggled on the par threes a little bit going through the round.
Oh yeah. I hate par threes.
Really?
Par threes are my weakest to this day. I hate them with a passion.
Really?
Yeah. No, I never do well. I don't know what it is. Par threes scare me, I guess.
See, but then it's funny. You're plus three on par threes in this round. But you were like, I want to say three or four under on par five. So that tells me you're a long hitter. And then, yeah. you know, you're a killer with the irons.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say I've always been a long ball driver. Driver was always my favorite club in the bag from like growing up in junior golf and like college days. So I was considered one of the longer, you know, female hitters growing up. And then I'd always have a short iron in. So I was like driver. And then my short game was really good. You know, so I always knew that I can at least, if I always went for the green and two, you know, and then if I didn't make it, then I would have a really good, you know, most likely up and down for birdie.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's enough of this silliness about your.
Wow. But that's a throwback. Oh my gosh.
I do my research for my guests, Noelle. I don't want, you know, awesome. I mean, come on.
You went like way back. I thought maybe like college days you'd go. You went.
Well, I also saw that too. Well, you were the 2011 Big West Conference Golfer of the Month twice at Long Beach State, right?
That's right. That's right.
So,
yeah.
Yes. But you're a stick. You can play some golf.
In my day, when I was at my top, my quote unquote top, yes, I would say I had all the confidence in the world. And I knew stepping up to the first tee that if I was not going to get first place, I was going to be extremely disappointed, you know, and grind a week, you know, and figure out why. And I was all about stats. I was, you know, figuring everything out left and right and why I did this and why I did that. And yeah. And then as soon as I graduated college and I realized that I wasn't going to turn professional, all that went out the window. And then I don't think I stepped on a golf course. Well, besides work, actually playing for myself for like a good year and a half.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I stepped away for a while. There were some family things, you know, my dad was the one who taught me the game. He would bring me in the stroller out to the driving range. And he was the one who said, basically, I picked the club up myself, you know, and fell in love with it. And he always was one to not push me to do things and just be very supportive. So unfortunately he had passed away. So in my last year of college, so it hurt me a lot to step onto a golf course, but you know, but it'll be coming up on 10 years now, but I'm so blessed that he introduced me to the game of golf because it's, as you guys all know, it's my passion and I love it and it's my job, but it doesn't feel like a job to me at all.
So was your dad your first coach, your first swing coach?
Yeah.
Really?
For sure. Yeah. For a little while. And then he quickly was like, yeah, you're way too good for me. So he found a swing coach, a local swing coach. And yeah, he helped me for a long time. So yeah.
Was he always like every tournament there supporting the whole kind of, you know, proud dad watching his girl, kill a golf ball? That had to be just incredible for him.
Oh, it is. I mean, I get chills talking about it. Every time I step onto a golf course too, I smile because I think of him, you know, but he was so proud of me and just helped me grow as much as I could and was able to financially help me, because as we all know, golf is not cheap, you know, but I was very blessed to have a full ride scholarship in college. But still, he was like, found me the best trainers and the best mental coach. And then, you know, was my biggest supporter out on that golf course for sure. Every time, win or lose, I would be more mad at myself. And he would just be like, you know, everything happens for a reason, let it go, you know, don't sweat it, you know, and he always put that smile right back on my face.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Do you remember your like first, like when you went out to play, was it with your dad walking a course?
Yeah.
Or was it?
Yeah. I'm a local girl born and raised in Long Beach, California. So Snoop Dogg, it's everyone is aware of, but, there's nothing but public golf courses out here. So yeah. So I grew up on mats. I didn't grow up at a country club. Luckily the local golf courses knew of me really early and knew the potential that I had. So they were able to let me get out or sneak out into the golf course anytime. And, they had some great junior programs that I was a part of too, but yeah. Oh yeah. He was the one that took me out onto the golf course for the first time we played. And, I think I actually played pretty well. I don't remember. I want to say I like broke 50 my first time, like ever playing nine holes. Oh, wow. So, you know,
it was like six, 7 years old.
Yeah. I was like seven. Oh, yeah. Goodness. So I just loved it. Couldn't, you know, get golf out of my hands after that.
Yeah. Yeah. Dad knew.
Yeah.
If you're breaking 50, you know, first time out. Yeah. That'll work. When you were a kid, did you play any other sports or was it golf and that was it?
I actually played softball too for a while. And then I was really involved in swimming. The time I entered into high school, the softball coach basically was like, you pick one or the other. You can't do both. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go play golf because I hate running. So,
I'm actually on board with that. Running is the worst ever.
I have no idea how people do it. I give them props, but I just don't know how they get that like runner's high. I'm like, kill me. This is miserable.
So back when you were 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, whatever it was, and you pick up a golf club and you swing it, was it the love of it then because you were naturally good at it? Was there something else do you think that like drew you in and grabbed you?
I think I loved just the fact that it's so independent. It's I'm trying to figure out the right word. Like you hold yourself accountable for things. Like it really grew me up as a person. Like a lot of my attributes for sure came from golf. Like, you know, being respectful, being professional, you know, taking accountability for your own actions. If something did happen or that you knew about it, but no one else saw type of kind of a thing, like speak up, you know, and things like that. So I think that's what drew me to it. And also too, all of the pressure was on you, whether or not you were going to be successful or not. And that's where I get my drive from. Like I am such a driven person. Like if I want something, it could be anything from like the smallest little thing of like tacos for dinner versus, you know, this goal of like being the president of the company, you know, I'm going to fight until I get that. So that's for sure what drew me to golf and has kept me going in golf for 26, 27 years.
That's really interesting. So I've been doing this show now for a year and 2 months, whatever it's been. And I've asked that question before and no one's ever given an answer like that where it's
really,
it's around that. Yeah. Around the accountability and the, I mean, people have said, you know, they appreciate the sort of individualness of the game, but yeah, no one's really ever put it that way.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting.
I would say if anyone ever like described me, you know, as a person, I'm definitely an extrovert, you know, but I'm a go-getter. I get jobs, you know, get things done. I'm driven, obviously career focused, but definitely family oriented as well. I'm very passionate about everything that I do, you know, even if I'm not good at it, like I will find a way to make myself better. And I think that also goes into golf and your, you know, in your game. If you aren't hitting it straight and down the middle, you know, for a round or two, figure out why, you know, and do the research and grind at it to make it, to make you successful the next time you go out and play. And I do that in my life as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have no doubt talking to you, just listening to you talk about it. I'm inspired, quite honestly.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. It's just such an interesting answer to me, because I think most of the time, and I'm sure this plays into it. I mean, who doesn't love a well-struck golf shot, right? Everybody does.
Right.
That's, I feel like that's kind of a bit of an easy answer. And the way that you've kind of, almost internalized and made what golf taught you a lifestyle, is awesome. That's so great.
Thanks.
And you've kind of figured out, to me anyways, almost a way to give back to golf through everything that you've done. And I think at some point, were you a junior golf coach as well?
No, I mean, I've definitely like helped out at junior events. Okay. And I used to work for, I did an internship with the Southern California Golf Association.
Okay.
So I did that right out of college. And then they do have their youth on course program. Also there's a Long Beach Junior Golf Association where Tiger started, and that's where I actually started too. And I've given back there for sure and helped out in that sense as a coach. No, I mean, like little things here and there, like I'll do and help people. But other than that, it's like, I don't have the patience for that. It's so weird where it's like, I'm really bad with patience though. So, and I know in golf, you really need to have a lot of patience, but I have so many friends, which is great. We're trying to grow the game of golf, who like want to go out and play and stuff. And we do, I have no problem taking them out, but then it's like, can you show me how to do this? And I'm like, you can look on YouTube. I won't even show my husband how to really play. Like I'm helping him and I'm learning to like be patient, but like he's a football player. So he doesn't have like the twists and the right turns exactly. So I get a little frustrated and I know I need to work on it. So I'm trying, but yeah.
I feel like that's a burden of like the really good players of any sport have a hard time, you know, communicating. How they do something. Like if you're
right,
it sounds like you've been naturally good at hitting a ball of any kind, your entire life. So part of you probably just thinks this is how it works.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like take this stick, hit this ball with it.
Right.
And you'll have some success, right? Like of course you've driven yourself beyond just those basic fundamental pieces of it. But I totally get that, you know, someone who's grown up with this and it's not even a second thought for you to swing a golf club.
Yeah. And honestly, that really, that exact, thing happened to me New Year's. My husband and I went out to the driving range on New Year's Day. And he really wanted to go. And I was like, okay, yeah, you know, everything else is closed. So, and it's, you know, COVID friendly. So we went out and I hit we bought a large bucket, which by the way, I haven't paid for, and this probably sounds really bad, but I haven't paid for a large bucket of balls in forever. And I couldn't believe how expensive it was. But that's a whole nother story.
That's awesome.
But that sounds so bad. But anyway, that's all right. I hit maybe 10 shots, maybe 10 shots. And I just was like, fine, you know? And then, but my husband was practicing on the mats and stuff. And I was looking over and it was full. It was a full range, which was awesome to see, but it was amazing to me how, and I don't know why it dawned on me, but golf is hard. Golf is really, really hard, you know? I took it for granted, you know? I guess I did opened my eyes and realized like, wow, like people are asking me for help. So I probably should help them a little bit more than I should, but I was having a little bit too much ego. And it's like the ball's sitting there. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not that hard to hit it.
So, right.
Yeah.
That's the thing that, you know, when I talk about how I got hooked into the game. So I played baseball my entire life, where a ball is coming at you and it's moving and at different speeds and all those kinds of things. And when I started trying to play golf, I was just dumbfounded by how hard it was. Like you said, that ball, it's just sitting there. I even get to tee it up sometimes. Like, this should not be that difficult. And yet, still to this day, it's probably the hardest sport I've ever played.
Right. I mean, that's where I think it doesn't get enough credit as it should either. You know, I mean, also we do have these amazing tour players where they make it look incredibly easy and are shooting 20 under par in events and stuff. But it's really hard, but I think not enough players give it enough credit. But I think that is changing though. I think it's what's really cool in this day and age is that a lot of other athletes play golf in their off season. I've got a ton of social media influencers under my belt that I help support and, you know, give them product in exchange for support on social media. And it's helped grow the game, you know, and also, you know, they're also natural freak athletes where, you know, baseball players are also amazing at golf, you know, but it's really nice to see people so passionate about the game, whether it's football, baseball, hockey, soccer, you know, anything, any professional sport that love to play golf in the off season. So that's also, I think, really, really cool and exciting. And that's helped us grow the game too.
Yeah, it's really fun. So I experienced it last year when we were in, you know, again, we're locked down. There's nothing to do except golf, right? And so for the first time, my children are all out of high school. They're all old, right? They're all grown up. And for the first time, they offered to go play golf with me so we could be a foursome. They had never played golf before. It was amazing. And to see that, like you see it happen, you see the birth of, and you're like, I got you. Like finally, you know? And so now it's like, Dad, let's go to Top Golf. Dad, let's go out and play nine.
Awesome.
Dad. Yeah. Like it's really, really fun to see that. And that's just another way to, like you're saying, people see their non-golf favorite athlete hitting a golf ball. And sometimes that's enough to get them out there to play. And that's fantastic. Okay. One more question, I think anyways. Actually, I think I have more than one question. I'll be honest.
That's fine.
Okay. So you get to play around with some really cool human beings that play Strixon stuff and Cleveland stuff and all that kind of thing. And when you're doing the commercial shoots and all those sorts of stuff, do you have a favorite amongst them?
Are you talking one of our tour players or celebrity athletes?
Give me one of each.
All right. So, for celebrity athletes, that's hard. Okay. I can't answer these. I can't play favorites. I can't play favorites. You know, it's not fair. I mean, I won't say who, but I mean, I do have a really great roster of Dodger players. And for those who follow me on social media, I'm a huge Dodger fan. I'm ride or die, you know, world champs. I'm so excited that I'm involving myself in that team. We won the World Series. You know, I play with them whenever we can, and it's so much fun. And I think what I enjoy about it too is that, you know, I mean, I remember and I know, but they're just kids. They're just guys who just love their sport and then love to relax and do also something else that's super competitive. And boy, are they competitive. They gave me no lax in anything. I mean, I also didn't either. I didn't give them any strokes, but I mean, their swings are incredible and absolutely incredible. You know, same with hockey. I played with a hockey player recently and just goodness, I couldn't believe, you know, that, couldn't believe how well struck he struck the ball, but that's hard. I can't give you an answer on that.
That has to be amazing to play. Like I know you're a huge Dodgers fan, and then being able to just kind of hang out on a golf course with Dodgers.
Yeah,
man, that's so awesome. Talk about one perk.
One highlight, which will always forever live in my soul, is I played with two of them. I won't say who, literally the day after their 163rd game or whatever it was. The day before the first round of postseason.
Yeah.
And they hit me up literally the night before and were like, hey, do you want to go play Bel Air? You know, we have a tee time, we have an open spot. And I was like, yeah, like no question asked, I'm there, you know. But it was fun. Like, we didn't talk shop. I don't want to like make them feel awkward. And I'm just not like the type of person, even though like inside of me, it's like, oh my God. Okay. So that game last night, you know, right. But no, we just hung out. They want to talk golf shop. You know, they want to know what I'm doing, or, you know, they want to place, you know, bets and have fun and see who can get closest to the hole. You know, we all played from the same tees, and you know, they banter of who hit it farther and stuff like that. And, it was such a fun day. It was so beautiful out there. If anyone's ever played Bel Air, it's incredible. And, but yeah, so that was definitely one of my highlights of my time doing that. But it's just, yeah, I'm very, very fortunate to be able to have that opportunity.
That's incredible. Okay. And in the pro side, the pro.
I can't answer that one for sure. I love all of them. They're all great. I actually was just with Hideki yesterday. So
I saw a little teaser on Instagram.
Yeah. Interesting. So it was great. We had a really good time together, and he's fun. They're all like kids, you know? Yeah. So, and no, they're all great. I love him, Graham and Shane together. Oh my gosh. I can't laugh any harder when I'm with them. you know, Keegan's great. All of them, Russell Knox, Cameron Champ is fantastic with us. Andrew Putnam. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah. Yeah. Graham is my favorite. I'm not afraid to say it.
Graham's, everyone loves Graham. He is.
How could he not?
If you ever get a chance of like, if you, you know, hopefully COVID friendly back, but like Graham and Shane Lowry play a lot of practice rounds together. They're good buds. They're hilarious together. Really? Oh my gosh. Yeah. We couldn't stop laughing at our last shoot. It was just the back and forth between them, but it was great stuff. But yeah, Graham's awesome. He's been amazing for our company, and he's such a sweetheart.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, people talk about, you know, if so-and-so plays X club or X iron, they want to play X club or X iron. And I've never really, not even, you know, I've never really had that sort of thing.
Yeah. But
I have to admit, like, I always kind of pay attention to what Graham has in the bag.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with, right. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But I think that's where it gets a little, not frustrating, but it's like, you're not them. Like, I know, right. And I know it's great. And I know that they represent the brand and stuff, but like, just because they play that doesn't mean you have to play that, but yeah, everyone loves a what's in the bag photo. Everyone loves like who's playing what and stuff like that. But it's like, try and fit what's best for your game so you can also really enjoy the game. Cause I can only imagine I would never be able to hit a fairway with, you know, Cameron Champ's shaft in my driver,
right.
you know, or the ball, obviously. I don't play the XV. I play the Z Star. Same with most of the tour guys. They all play XV. But yeah, I mean, if there's similarities, then for sure grab what they're doing. And you know, obviously the iron wise, which is, I think a lot of people don't know, is most of our guys are playing combo irons, 5 series and 7 series, you know, and then have a couple utility irons in the bag, and then it's the driver. So you can definitely get that kind of, you know, what you need, but shafts and on that sorts, maybe not so much.
So are you a bit of, I don't think it's too, I don't know. You kind of sound like maybe you're a bit of a, like you have a very good awareness of sort of the gear side of the business, like from a shaft perspective and that kind of thing. Is that when you decided to go and leave college, you weren't going to be pro. Did you seek out kind of the golf world specifically to go and find a job there with an equipment company?
So I, right out of college, like I said, I got the internship at SCGA, worked for them for a year or so. And then, after that, I knew I wanted to be in the golf industry, you know, in the golf biz. And mm-hmm. it was basically as far as like, where can I apply? You know, so I applied everywhere. And, luckily, Strixon Cleveland is right in my hometown, basically 10 minutes from my hometown. And I applied for them and I got a job, opportunity to interview with them in customer service. So I actually worked in customer service for about 8 months. That was my first time there, but you know, 3 months in, I knew automatically I wanted to be in marketing. You know, so, yeah. So every day I was in the marketing department knocking on the door, you know, hey, I'm here. let me in kind of a thing. So I actually got my first opportunity at Strixon Cleveland to work in customer service. So I put my time there and did a solid 8 months and then, you know, was blessed to be hired as the social media person for marketing back in 2016. And then just kind of grew from there.
Wow. That I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
Is that known that you started like a customer service and then like, look at you now. That's incredible. Yeah. No kidding that you're determined. My goodness.
Yeah, I think so. I think I've told, you know, anyone that asks, you know, I'm not ashamed of it. It put my foot through the door. I knew I wanted to get in there. And I think it was, you know, I take it as a victory is that I just pushed and I researched and I figured out what was needed to, you know, take those next steps. But I also I learned so much just starting, I don't want to say from the bottom, but, you know, working in customer service and that's, I utilize that a lot in my everyday PR role, you know, and working with media like yourself and, you know, wanting to make sure that you're taken care of and that, you know, also the people on social media, when they're commenting and having questions, on posts, it's like, I'm going to do everything I can to respond to you and check every DM and do whatever I can to make you happy. You're obviously following our accounts and, you know, from media side, supporting us for a reason because you like our brands, but I also want you to feel very important. And when I'm giving you my time, I want to give you my undivided attention.
Boy, that really does. Now that you've said all of those sorts of things, the way that you interact with us, with the general public, in social media, it makes total sense. Like you are kind of coming to it from a customer service perspective. It totally makes sense. Like that's so great. I'm always impressed with people like you that basically, I don't know, they made their own path to where they are. Like, you know, maybe you didn't invent the position, but you certainly, you weren't satisfied with just a job. You saw something and you were like, this is what I plan on doing. And it wasn't even, I want to do it. Like, this is what I'm going to do.
Right. Exactly.
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have a communications degree. I always thought I wanted to be in some type of sports broadcasting kind of a sense, you know, but in college, I still graduated in 4 years. I played golf in college's fall and spring, you know, but I also worked on the weekends as a waitress. You know, I made sure I had enough financial support to support me on, you know, all these other things as well. And so it's just part of who I am as a person. And it's like I said earlier, when I want something, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it. So, it's everything that's happened in my life has happened for a reason, which I truly believe in. But also there are many people, you know, within my life that I have to thank for helping me and boosting me and, you know, I'm nowhere where I am today without them for sure.
Oh yeah. No doubt. I think, I can relate to that. Certainly. I think all of us can really, I think you're just a tremendous human being, Noelle.
Thank you.
I'm incredibly impressed with you. And this is the first time we were talking about, before we hit record that, I had spent roughly 15 seconds with you at a PGA show, demo day when you were running around like a crazy. so it's nice to be able to just sit and hang out a little bit and talk.
Thank you so much for having me and you're great. Everyone that you work with has been fantastic to me and to the company. So I couldn't be More thankful for you guys and what you've done for our brands and help us grow and, you know, be exposed as much as we have been, especially over the last 6 months. And I want to continue this, you know, and keep growing. And hopefully one day we can meet out on the course and play around together as well.
I look forward to being outdriven by you and losing by at least 15 strokes. It would be a happy day for me. Okay. I'll let you go. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. Well, I'll see you either in California or Florida or something. You know what? Matter of fact, have you been to Wrigley Field?
I have not. Okay. I am dying to go. I went to Chicago for the first time right before COVID. I went for the first time, but it was, I went to Budget Golf.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Sure. So, but that was, I was there for like maybe 36 hours, so I couldn't see or do anything. So I'm dying to check out the Windy City. Yeah. I'm dying to check out Wrigley Field. I'm dying to check out that bean. I would love, I want to get that deep dish pizza. I want to see what all the rave is about. I hear you've got some good steakhouses, some good wine. I'm a total wino.
True.
I will take you up on that offer anytime, but yeah, to catch a ball game too, there would be a dream.
Yeah. Well, that's an open invitation. And just to experience a Chicago summer, the real reason that we stay through what we're currently going through right now, which is minus 20 degrees, and we're, you know, hiding from the outdoors, is because the Chicago summers are just second to none. So yes, whenever you come back into town, make sure I know, and we'll treat you to all the local stuff. Like we'll go do, you know, the touristy stuff. Cause I do love the touristy stuff. Like the architecture tours and stuff are the best, but yeah, we'll have a good time. And yeah, we gotta see, you know, plan it with like a Dodger Cubs game. And
that would be amazing, for sure. I want to go like behind the Green Monster and like go back there and see all that stuff. So.
Oh yeah. You can get a tour. We can go into the scoreboard and all that kind of good stuff. Oh yeah, for sure. Always fun. Awesome. All right.
Can't wait.
That's enough. Thank you, Noel. I appreciate this.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
So that is Noel Zavaleta. And clearly when Noel was referencing the Green Monster, she got confused with the scoreboard that's at Wrigley Field. It's not a mistake, but we all know what she meant. And we're going to go and we're going to explore the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. And we'll do the tour and wait till she gets a hold. You know, the bleachers at Dodger Stadium are fun. Don't get me wrong. That's where we sat for the majority of the game when we went to Dodger Stadium. But the bleachers at Wrigley Field, ladies and gentlemen, on a sunny day with a cold beer and a ball game, and just, it's the most perfect place in the world. It really, really, really is. I miss it so much. I can't wait to go to a baseball game. Oh, especially now staring out the window where it's never going to stop snowing in Chicago. Ladies and gentlemen, just so you're aware, we will be buried in snow for eternity, and it will probably never be above 0 degrees again. So I hope that you guys do enjoy this show because I will be doing it in perpetuity because I have nowhere else to go. Anyways, that's the show. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you've already subscribed and rated and reviewed the show. But if you haven't, when this thing is over, when this episode runs out, stop what you're doing and then go and subscribe and then hit the 5 stars and then just type something in the review saying like, this is a pretty good show. You should listen to it. Or I like the mix of guests. That's been a popular theme in the reviews that, I do have some quote unquote regular golfers, you know, like you and me. And then I have some more impressive humans like Noel on the show who have, you know, a playing background at a very high level. And now they're marketing and creating new equipment for us to go and try to be better playing. So go and do that. Otherwise, that's it. Thank you again for listening. Let's close it out with the poppy and ska thing that is the fun
but yet very meaningful and tongue-in-cheek and purposeful song by, no doubt, Gwen Stefani and the other kids. Let's close it out with Just a Girl. Talk to everybody next week.